Today. So in Mark 14, this is kind of what stemmed all of this, and it's interesting again how it kind of ties into what Pastor was preaching this morning, and so we'll kind of tag team with that once again last week as well as this week. Pastor Mike had led us up through Christ in the garden and the betrayal and Judas, and we were getting to that point, and one of the things that had been mentioned was that the prayer of Christ is not mentioned in the Gospel of John. And so I kind of went back to that prayer in Mark 14, where it says, going a little farther, he fell on the ground, pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And so we began a conversation last week on what do we mean by this idea of a will, or when we talk about my will, God's will, and you know, we throw those words around, those terms around, but we're trying to get a little more definition or a little more understanding of that. So we looked, I showed you from Blue Letter Bible, one of the definitions here for will, the Greek word that's used in that verse is what one wishes or has determined shall be done. All right, so it gives us a little better understanding that this now is something Jesus is saying, not what I wish, but what you have determined is going to be done. You know, your will is what you have predetermined to be accomplished in this. So when we're discussing the will of God, is there more than one perspective to discuss? And this was brought to my attention last week after class. And so I stole some information from Pastor Mike. So I will give him credit for this. I didn't highlight it on the slide, but it is from him. So we have, when we talk about the will of God, there's really three different perspectives that you can approach that from. So maybe this will help kind of put it in better perspective for you. But one is God's, what we might term, or what you might hear as God's absolute will or predetermined will. All right, and there's nothing that anybody can do that's going to stop or change that. All right, that is going to happen. You know, that is the predetermined will of God, and nothing is going to change that. All right, we see in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right, so we know that one day in the future, everybody, lost, saved, believing, unbelieving, trusted Christ, rejected Christ, doesn't matter, everyone is going to fall before Christ, and they are going to proclaim, yes, you are the Christ, you are God. All right, so you can either, you know, we either do it now and continue, or someday we are going to fall at his feet and proclaim him as Christ to the glory of God the Father. All right, so that is going to happen. Nothing we do is going to change that. All right, so that's just one example. All right, so then the other thing, and we hear different terms, so we'll kind of throw them all out here, but God's, his desired will, his perfect will, his moral will. If you've researched this or looked, you'll hear all those terms used. And when somebody uses that phrase or those words, what they're really describing is God's will for my life. All right, what is God's will for my life? You know, what does God want me to do kind of idea? All right, because obviously we have some free choice. We'll get to that. And we have a means of choosing, making choices. So in this, we're looking for, you know, God's will for each of our lives. If we've trusted in him, if we're trying to follow him, then his will for us is to choose not to sin. Because again, sin is a choice, isn't it? You know, you don't sit and go, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. No, I mean, at some point you have that thought process, you make that decision, you know, and you choose to do that. So this is the path the Holy Spirit guides me to go down every day. You know, every day when we wake up, the underlying thought is today I should strive to live my life without sin. You know, I'm going to strive with the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to strive to make the right choices. And that is God's will for me. Romans 8, it's a little small here, the font, but 12 through 14, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. All right, so as believers, we don't have to be slaves to sin. All right, prior to salvation, we were slaves to sin. But when Christ regenerates us, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're no longer slaves to sin. Now, what changes is now we have an old nature and we also have the new nature. So we have the struggle between the two. And that's where the choice comes in. You know, am I going to serve the old nature today or the new nature? Or throughout the day, am I going to choose the old nature to make me feel gratified or make me feel like I just got even or make me feel a little better? Or am I going to choose the new nature and just do what's right and what God would have me to do? Because Scripture is clear that He has called us to be peculiar. He's called us to be holy. He's called us to be set apart and different. And so we are to then be to walk in the Spirit and to be conformed to the image of Christ. And of course, we know Christ lived without sin. So that is our ultimate goal. That's what we strive to do. And that is God's will for my life, my daily life, is to live as much as possible without sin. All right. And then third is God's, and again, we hear this term permissive will. All right. And by that, we mean that God allows us to make choices. All right. You know, we do choose to sin at times. You know, we choose to make bad, what we find maybe later on, is it was an unwise or a bad choice. Okay. And God allows us to do that. So He allows us to make choices that aren't good or are not in keeping with His plan. But these choices have consequences, don't they? You know, if you chose poorly, you know, if you're a fan of the Harrison Ford movies there, you know, if you choose poorly, you know, bad things happen. You know, if you choose wisely, good things happen. And it's the same in life. You know, if you choose poorly, then there's going to be consequences for that, just as if you choose wisely. And Acts 14, Luke tells us in past generations, God allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. So there are times, there are illustrations where we see that God's allowing nations and peoples just to make their own choices. And it's not in accordance with what He wants or with His will, but He's allowing that to take place. Okay? Any questions on those three? Yes. Oh, nope, you're just putting your arm around your wife. Oh. That's a good thing, though. All right. Any questions? Anything? All right. Everybody's got that down? All right. So you can teach me later really a little bit more about that, because I don't know if I do. There's just so much in all of that. All right, so then last week we talked about attributes of God that we experience as a result of sin. So just kind of refresh your memory, or if you weren't here, we said that if we aren't aware of sin, or if Adam hadn't sinned, then we wouldn't be able to experience the forgiveness of God, and the mercy of God, the grace of God, the redemption of God, the justice of God, the love of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. You know, all of these things become much greater and have more of an impact in our lives because of sin. You know, and we think to ourselves, well, that's terrible. You know, I wish Adam had never sinned. But if he hadn't, then many of these things we wouldn't experience as fully as we do now because of that. All right. So then we said the overarching theme of history is that God is in control and that God receives the glory from all things. Okay? Everybody up with me now? All right, crammed a whole lot in just a short period of time. So the thought, your homework last week, your thought to ponder was it determined by God from the beginning for Adam to sin? And then what are the two ditches when we ponder this question? So we'll start with the second one first. What are the two ditches when you actually start thinking about that? Because if you really give a lot of thought to this, you can get a headache. Let's just be honest and real. But what would you say the two ditches are when you really get into this? All right, Jacob?
I would say one would be if Adam never sinned, then Jesus Christ would never have had to be sinned.
Okay. All right, so if Adam hadn't sinned, then Christ never would have come. There would have been no redemption. All right.
I think he created us to have choices.
Okay.
Even though he had eliminated all the sin and the crucifixion, I think he gave us, as human beings, remain his image, that we can make choices versus we like robots. We can actually make choices.
Okay.
Part of that is that if we think that God determined beforehand for Adam, then God has to be the author of sin.
Yeah.
Right.
But on the other hand, it is that God cannot sin, cannot cause sin, therefore, then could he have prevented us from sinning?
Okay. All right. Good. Millie? Right.
Free choice,
free
will.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think he knows us so well, he knows what we're
going to
do.
Okay.
Okay. And that's why he needs his son, too, because we're not God.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. James?
Adam, you wouldn't have sinned, someone else probably would have, right? Wouldn't have stopped sinning right there.
Well, I'm trying to get us to back up even before that.
Okay.
All right. And this is where it gets difficult because, all of us think linearly, we were born. And so now, we can look forward or we can go back and say God created the heavens and the earth. And so we kind of have a starting point and we look forward, and that's easier for us to understand. But to think about eternity past, none of us, or at least I can't quite fathom that. What does it look like to never have been or to be before the beginning? And what was that kind of thing? All right. But in that, is God constrained by time?
No.
All right. There is no time with God. So whatever that looks like, which again, we can't really fathom that. Because for us, everything is time. And to try to think outside of time, you can't comprehend that because we can't experience that. Right. And that was, I don't remember who wrote the book. Somebody might help me. I'm trying to think what it was. It was the flat something. What? It was a little small book, but it was about whether, we see everything in 3D, but it was like, what if you only, the storyline was, the people lived in a two-dimensional world, kind of everything was flat to them, and, so they were trying to understand what three dimensions were, but whatever. I'm probably describing it really bad, but it was a really unique book because it's trying to describe like a whole concept that is really inconceivable to you. Chris?
Well, I was going to say, to me, that brings up the idea that either the two ditches is God's sovereign or he's not.
Okay.
And then we're just wasting our time.
Yeah. All right, great. All right, so let's build on that. Because if we say God is sovereign, then what is that really? And again, we're going big ditches here, okay? So really spread apart. So if you say God is sovereign, what would the ditch then be? Or what could you build upon that, saying that God determined from the beginning that Adam was going to sin? Is that a bad question?
Well, that he was the one that was the author of sin.
Okay. That God authored that, or God predetermined that Adam was going to do this, and he allowed it. He made him do that. Okay. All right. So then the other side of the ditch is, well, you know, God really didn't know if he was going to sin or not sin. And, you know, he kind of hoped for the best. And when Adam sinned, then he was like, oh, man, plan A failed. Now what do we do? You know, and, you know, as we go through life, it's, you know, every choice we make, God's going, oh, they chose poorly, so let me do this. And, oh, nope, they chose great, let me do this. And so it's just a constant, you know, God's constantly waiting for us to make a choice, and then he reacts to every choice we make. All right, so those are kind of the two huge ditches. All right, so on the one side, God is sovereign. God has a plan that he controls all things at all times, even particles of dust, you know, and he moves this dust particle there and vice versa. And God controls everything. Therefore, he caused, in essence, mankind to sin. All right, so that would be one ditch, one side. And then the other side, you know, as we said, is God kind of has this plan, but, you know, he doesn't really, you know, he might kind of know what choice you're going to make most of the time, or based, you know, this and that, but, you know, he's just kind of bouncing back and forth as you make choices, and he's reacting to them to try and get his plan accomplished in the end. Does that make sense? So those are kind of the two, you know, if you go online and look, that's going to kind of be the two farthest points apart. Chris?
Well, I'm reading Judges, and so ditch, the red ditch, seems like that's kind of like what it is. When they did good, then they sinned, and then they knocked out the altars, and then they did bad, and back and forth and back and forth, and it seems like millions of people were killed because of their disobedience. That almost seems like that. How could that have been in God's original plan? You know, so I understand.
Right.
The two
ditches. And yes, and you know, there are, you know, it's just, you know, as you read the Old Testament, you know, Israel sins, and so often what does God do? All right, he puts them in bondage. Name somebody that he puts them in bondage to. All right, the Babylonians. So, you know, Israel sins, and so God says, okay, you've sinned. It's time to be judged. Babylonians are going to come judge you. And so Israel gets judged. Then what happens several years down the road to the Babylonians? They get judged, and what does God say? I'm judging you because you judged Israel. And, you know, as you think through that, you think, well, good night. They're just like chess pieces. You know, they're just pawns on the chessboard. And God goes, okay, you knock him out. Oh, nope, you did that, so I'm going to knock you out. And then somebody knock. And you just, it's like round robin, you know, just knocking people off. But again, that's from our perspective.
But Nebuchadnezzar is a good example of God's sovereignty but grace.
Yeah, yeah.
Because while he judged Nebuchadnezzar, he also allowed Nebuchadnezzar repent.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Recognize who he was.
Right. Who else? What other nation in the Old Testament got somewhat of a bye?
Right.
Later, a little bit later on. Who remembers?
Nineveh,
right? With Jonah. You know, and I'm not, you know, I preach through Jonah, and I don't believe like there is this great spiritual revival in Nineveh and they all got saved. But I think there was enough that did, and enough at least turning over a new leaf, so to speak, in Nineveh, that God said, you know what, I'm going to postpone the judgment. I'm going to kick the can down the road and you know, apply the grace and mercy there. All right. So we do see that. But again, there's still the fact, you know, that we have to, that tension between these two, you know, that yes, God does have a plan. God is sovereign. We know that from Scripture. You know, we know from reading Scripture that God is all of those things. You know, but we also know that man makes choices.
Right.
We know that God allows man to make the choice, make choices. You know, and yes, we do see some instances in Scripture, and Pastor brought one up this morning about Pharaoh. You know, that you know, in the New Testament says that Pharaoh was... what's the verb? He was formed for destruction or whatever the word was, however it goes there. But, you know, as Pastor brought out this morning, what was Pharaoh trying to serve God and love God? No. You know, it wasn't like Pharaoh was running to Jesus and, you know, God's going, no, I don't want you, you know, get lost. No, Pharaoh was, you know, he wanted to be God.
It helps to understand a little bit about the Egyptian culture is the pharaohs were gods.
Right, yeah.
And so they did not recognize other gods.
Correct.
Because they actually believed that the pharaoh was a god.
Right, yeah. You know, so for Pharaoh to acknowledge Yahweh would be to
diminish
himself and his own power and control. You know, so, and we do see, of course, in the Old Testament, the first several plagues, you know, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then God hardened his heart. You know, and it was kind of like, okay, you've had your chance and you refuse to repent. So now, you know, that's it. You know, we're not going to go there anymore. All right. So coming back to now question two, was it determined by God from the beginning for Adam to sin? All right, based on the two ditches, and I'm not saying we need to run to either ditch, but really what we still need to formulate in our minds was it determined by God that Adam was going to sin, or was it just, well, God knows everything, and God, you know, created Adam, and God knew he was going to sin, and so, you know, his plan A was that, you know, Adam wouldn't sin, and he and Eve would live in the garden. And, you know, that everything would be rosy and perfect. And he blew it. And so now we got to, you know, reassess. And now, you know, Jesus, can you go down there and save these people? And, you know, then they kind of worked it all out. All right. Yep.
Having God allow him to sin because he knew we would need grace.
Okay.
Period.
All right. Other thoughts? Yep. Dennis. All right.
I think I'm going to use my same old argument that I always do. We're not God.
Yeah.
I don't care how we discuss this. We're not going to come up with the right answer. We do have to believe that God is sovereign, God gave us the free will, and somehow he manages to use our free will to bring about his own results, his own
right.
means.
Right.
Because as we said in the first example that you put up this morning, nothing we do is ever going to thwart the end game for God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Now, whether we get on board with it or whether we resist it all the way, God still gives us the ability to do that.
Right. Yep. Chris?
I kind of think that, like, if God determined for Adam to sin and every event that took place, it'd be like God is using us as a in real lifetime movie that he wrote the script and now he's watching how we wrote comes out. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think free will enters into it. And he, for example, with Sodom and Gomorrah, like you were saying, Nineveh was saved. Well, there wasn't enough people there to say. So, you know, what Dick said is true. We're not God. We don't understand how he thinks. But that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, if he wrote everything out, you know, then he knew that I'm going to go out here and turn left and turn right, and he's going to watch us, you know, do all that. So what would be the purpose that would not necessarily have us glorifying God? You know, when we make our own choices and we learn from them, and we can go forward and that glorifies God because it's what we want to do, not because he said we have to.
It does, to the fact that, you know, he wants us to choose to serve him because we love him and we want to, that we're not robots being forced to do that concept. And I agree. But I think, okay, when does Scripture tell us that that salvation and the elect were chosen?
Before the foundation
of the world. All right, so... We have to think, before God ever said, let there be light. He'd already predetermined that Christ was going to come. He'd already predetermined who was going to be saved, who was going to be lost, what Christ was going to do. He was going to redeem man. So obviously, from before the foundation of the world, he knew, or part of his plan, and that's what you have to decide, you know, that Adam was going to sin. Now, we also know from Scripture, God is not the author of sin. No man can be tempted by God. All right, so we understand that as well.
So we just have to take what we do know.
Exactly. So we take what we know and we try to pull on those that tension and realize.
Accept it by faith.
Right, and accept, okay, I don't know, did God from the very beginning say, okay, I'm gonna create this big movie script and part of it's gonna be Adam sins, you know, and this and that? Or was it that because he does know all things that he came up with this plan, you know, his will to create the world and man and animals and all of that? And again, because he chose not to give animals really free will, he chose not to give animals souls. You know, he chose to create angels with choice, but not souls. You know, so mankind was chosen with free will and a soul. So all of that fits in.
So I'm going to go backwards to a point you made a little bit ago.
Okay.
On the time issue. Because to me, I find it really hard to come down on an answer here. Because every answer that I have always comes back to include time.
Right. Yeah, right.
And as you said, God is outside of time.
Yeah.
Now, what that is, how he just exists, I have no comprehension. But yet, everything that I try to work out, it always comes back to using words like plan or path. But to God, there is no such thing as progression through time. And so, I think that's where, you know, I'm just always trying to wrap my mind around that. What is life without any time at all? What does it mean to exist?
Yep.
I'm struggling with that.
Right. Yep, Chris.
I also think that, to me, it doesn't really matter, you know, which way God did it. I'm in the same position that I was, whether I pondered this question or not. So I need to start now and go forward. You know what I mean? Because that's all that we can do. And maybe at some point we'll have the understanding for that. Just like, how did creation exactly really happen by his word? What, there's a lot that we don't know. And I think that's part of the mystery and the wonder of God, that there are some things that we're not privy to. You know, maybe we don't need to know that in order to serve him well.
And I agree, but you are going to encounter people that have questions and that say things, and I don't want you to be ignorant or just go, I don't really know. I just trust by faith. You know, because a lot of times people in today's day and age, that's not a great answer. You know, that's like a child asking the parent, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. Okay, well, yeah, I get it. But, you know, they want to know a little bit more. Dennis, were you going to say something?
Yeah. So I kind of put it on like a father-child aspect. You can see the children doing this, and you don't know exactly when or time it's going to happen, but if you keep on this course, something's going to happen. And I kind of put that with this. Well, God knew, he's our Father, he knows, well, this is going to happen, but I can't give you a time, but this is going to happen.
You can't use the word time. Mike just told us we can't say time.
He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We're in the middle.
Right.
He knows this and this.
Okay. Dick?
I would also add, we also need to be cautious about saying that someday we'll understand. We're never God. We'll never be God.
Yeah.
We may never understand something.
Right. No, I agree. And did any of you have a chance to read some of the articles that I sent you? Anybody? A few of you. And I sent them to you just so you could see what's out there, the good and the bad. But, you know, if you didn't, you know, and this is what, this is, you know, and I know I grew up in church and I grew up with the Bible. So some of this just really just, you know, it's just mind boggling when you read it. But, you know, somebody asked the question online, what was God's original plan for man? God's original purpose was for mankind to live forever on a beautiful paradisical earth. So without sin, we would all have the opportunity to live forever on earth in perfect physical health of sound mind and body. Eden was a sample garden which mankind was to expand to cover the whole earth in beauty. You know, then they quote Psalm 115:16. God's purpose is for mankind to inhabit the earth, which is why Jesus promised the earth to humble, meek people. All right. You know, so as you know, is there some truth in that? Yes. But is that true? No. All right. It's not. You know, here another one. If Adam had not sinned, God would have been able to continue to directly fellowship with Adam. Adam would have never physically died, but sin cannot coexist with God. So it brought a barrier between Adam and God. God still had a plan. So what do you see in that? God still had a plan. Like, again, like, okay, well, that wasn't the original plan, but because Adam sinned, well, God came up with this other plan to redeem us and bring us back that fellowship after the final judgment where sin is wiped out forever. Why would God just not bother to ever create man if he knew that man would fail him? And then I don't understand their answer to that one, but anyway. It was really kind of weird. And then he says, Satan and Adam. All right. And again, just think about this, because the person writing this says Satan and Adam caused an interruption and threw a monkey wrench into God's purpose for Eden. All right. So right. You know, so based on what they're saying was God's not sovereign. And you know, that just, you know, God just couldn't do it. You know, he didn't plan it. He couldn't stop it. He's not sovereign. He's not omnipotent in that. You know, this other one, you know, this one's just like way out there. But, you know, the entire context under which these stories are interpreted is wrong. They are stories about our species development from birth. Eden was our species infancy, wherein God was the all-providing, ever-present parent. The disobedience was our first discipline from our parent to instruct us in right and wrong. There was no fall. There was no original sin. There was no damning of everyone. It is all about our struggles to mature us as a species. Unfortunately, we not only had to mature in each generation, but our species had to evolve the capabilities for control of our baser urges that would enable each generation to more fully mature. The schoolmaster stage, so they're still using biblical words here. The schoolmaster stage, using fear of God as the motive to exercise our self-control, was instrumental in promoting that capability. All right, so
that sounds like
Jehovah's
Witness.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like not even, you know, it's not even, you know, there's nothing in Scripture about that. All right, so let me just wrap up in summation. And we'll move on next week. But, you know, we see there's no time with God. God created man with the ability to make choices, which we call free will. God is sovereign, and yet mankind is also responsible for his or her choices. God's desire for me is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, conformed to the image of his Son. Thus, his desire is that I not sin. All right? God's plan will come to pass. God will be glorified in all that is done. Mankind will be rewarded and or punished for their choices. God is sovereign and in control, and yet he has given free will to mankind. Where the two meet is not taught in Scripture. It's a mystery to us that, Lord willing, maybe one day we'll find out. Maybe we won't. But, you know, these are truths that we can stand on from the Word of God, and how we reconcile them, sometimes you just have to say, I can't. Dennis?
You can't say time.
Only if you're going by Mike's rules. So, and he's not teaching today, so I don't have to. All righty, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can wrestle with some of these things. And I know sometimes it can be fun, but it can also be kind of stressful and just trying to figure it out because it's difficult. And God, we are thankful that you are greater than us and that that we can't figure you out, because if we could, then you wouldn't be anything more than a really smart man. And so we are thankful that we can wrestle with some of these scriptural truths and just kind of work through them and figure out what we do know as fact and what we still need to just try to struggle with and wrestle with. And so thank you for that. Thank you for those that have come out this morning and listened. I pray that the lesson would be a blessing. I pray that Pastor's sermon would be a blessing as well, that you would speak through him at the 10:45 service. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.